You know, you only need to be on the milk just so long, right? You stay on it too long and you begin to be stunted, you know. We need to be weaned from the milk so that we can follow our Father. Like the celebration that Abraham had when his son was weaned. Great celebration they had. Because now he didn't have to stay with Mama. He could follow the Father. And you know what it is to be mature, right? Revelation 14. We follow him follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. You can't do that on the milk, folks. And I got news for you. You know, most of all, what you can find in religion is milk. I remember a vision I had one time. I'll share it with you. I was suddenly standing on top of a mountain. And I kind of walked over and looked down the side of the mountain. And there was a construction crew coming up the side of that mountain. And they were putting up these real high-tension power poles for the high-voltage electricity. And they were coming over the top of that mountain with this power, you know. And I was watching them. And I turned around and I saw on the ground this old cow. It was kind of withered up looking and looked like it was just, you know, taking its last breath, really. It was dying, you know. And I looked down beside this cow and there was a big baby there. A big baby laying beside this cow. And the amazing thing was that this baby was born from that cow. And so while I was looking at this, a front end loader, a construction worker came up there on a front end loader to scoop up that cow and move it out of the way so that they could bring the power through. And the power over the top of that mountain. And I'll tell you what the mountain represented in my vision. It represents the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, the Lord told me what the cow represented. The cow represents the apostate institutions and religions of men. That's what it represented. And he told me what the baby represented. That baby represents a remnant that's going to be born out or being born out of these apostate institutions of men. A remnant that's going to go on with the Lord. You know, they were trying to bring power to the kingdom of God. Folks, we do have power coming to the kingdom of God. A great move of power is coming. It's on its way. But it isn't going to be in the apostate institutions of men any more than it was in Jesus' day. You know, they were awed at Jesus' power. They felt threatened by it because it really made them look like the people that they were. Had a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, right? They didn't have any power because they really didn't have any holiness. And basically that's the situation with the church today. Most of it is just hung up in dead religion. Dead religion. Get out of it, folks. Follow the Lord. I'm not talking about not fellowshipping with the brethren or forsaking your assembling together. I'm just talking about, for God's sakes, outgrow that thing, get up and go on. You look at those folks, they may have been there for many, many years and they don't want to go on. They think that this is all there is to it. But if you pick up your Bible and you start reading your Bible, it won't take you but one time to read through the New Testament and you will find out that there is more to it. Okay, it don't take long. You can give that Bible to a 13-year-old child and they can read it. If they don't have their own religious preferences before, and you just tell them to read it and tell you what Christianity is like, and they can do better than most people that have been in religion for 40, 50 years. In fact, many pastors that have been there for 40, 50 years. It doesn't take long, folks. Just pick up your Bible and read it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Anyway, the Lord told me that that cow was like the golden calf when God's people first came out of Egypt and started their first religion, their first false religion, and they worshiped the golden calf. And the Lord basically told me that this cow was that old golden calf now come to full maturity and about to die and pass off the scene. Well, folks, that's what's happening, folks. Look around you. It's dying. It's so corrupt. The leaders are all apostate. They're greedy of filthy lucre. They don't know the truth. They misuse the Word of God for their own gain. They get caught by the government. They get caught by their wives. They get, everybody is catching these people. You know what that tells you? They were never who you thought they were. That was the same problem Jesus said the Pharisees had. So they judged everybody, but they lived in the midst of the same problems that they were judging people for. The power of God is coming, but it's not going to come through the old cow. The old cow is standing in the way. It's got to be moved. I'm talking about in your life. It has to be moved. You want the power of God in your life? It comes to the person who is an overcomer. And overcoming is a matter of turning away from worldly religion and turning to the Lord and walking in His steps and walking in His power to overcome sin and overcome the curse and so on and so forth. When that front end loader came up there to get that cow, I set my Bible down on that front end loader, which I'm very, very... It's my most precious possession is my Bible. Really, honestly, I tell you the truth. There isn't anything that I would worry about losing except for that. I set my Bible down in the front end loader and reached down and picked up that big baby and started walking away as that front end loader was carrying that old cow off so that the power of God could come to the mountain of God, which is the kingdom of God, And I carried that big baby over and got on an escalator. And the Lord explained to me the escalator. The escalator is the rest. When you believe God's promises, it just takes the struggle out, folks. You can enter into the rest. You can cease from your works. Stairs, you have to work to climb them, right? You can work up a sweat, as a matter of fact. The priests, when they walked up the steps, they were not permitted to wear anything that would make them sweat. Because God didn't want their works involved. That's what sweat symbolizes, is your works involved. And you know what? Religion is full of man's works. And like I said, any 13-year-old who reads the Bible can figure it out, that it is full of men's works. The Lord is not pleased with our self-righteousness and our self-works. He wants us to rest in Him by the promises of God and see Him do the work through us. It's not a matter of us picking up ourselves by our bootstraps and doing something that we're not capable of. It's a matter of us believing Him to rise up in us and get the work done. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is no other hope of glory. If you were given God's law and told to go and do it or else, you'd just get there or else, I can tell you right now. Because you don't have any power and I don't have any power to obey the law. It's Christ in us that empowers us. So I was riding, just resting and riding up this elevator. By the way, Hebrews chapter 3 talks about it. Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4 talks about the rest. Entering into the rest. Ceasing from your own works, he says. And it also says, he that hath believed doth enter in to that rest. So don't let there be a promise left, the Bible warns, of us entering into that left, that rest. So, all the promises of God are to cause us to just rest in God's power to bring it to pass. That's the truth. And this is not one day a week, folks. This is every day a week. We're not in the old covenant anymore. We're in the new covenant. Start looking at the type and the shadow and start looking at the spirit revelation and not the letter. Anyway, I was riding up this escalator with this baby boy. And I looked over next to me. And there was a woman standing on the escalator next to me, and she had a baby boy. But it was like a normal-sized baby boy. And she looked at my baby boy, and she says, "Wow, that looks like a real baby boy." And I turned around, and I looked, and I watched that front-end loader carrying off that old cow. I said, "Yeah, I wonder how that's possible." In other words, how could this come out of that? Well, you know what? We're going to be astounded at what God's going to bring out of that. Think about what Jesus did, folks. He brought those disciples out of that corrupt, apostate, institutional religion of their day, and nothing's changed. Same thing's about to happen in Christianity. I'm telling you right now, I know, I've heard it from the Lord. It's about to happen in Christianity. Well, look at those disciples. They called them Christians. Why? Because they walked in the same power, in the same wisdom, in the same authority that their Lord gave them. He told them to go out and raise up disciples and teach them to observe everything that He told them. So, if you're not walking in that same authority, same power, and same holiness, guess whose fault it is? That's right, because in order to abide in Christ, we have to receive that which we heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you abide in the Son. Abiding in Christ is a matter of walking as He walked. And God made this opportunity for all disciples, not just the first ones. Okay? So, when we got to the top of this, well, I don't even know that I got to the top of the escalator, suddenly the scene changed. And I was walking into a minister's conference. And in this minister's conference, there was all the famous ministers that I recognize in America. And one of the most famous walked over to me and handed me some papers that were kind of rolled up. And I stuck my hand out and received them. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, this is His propaganda. This is what He said. This is His propaganda about what He has accomplished. You know, there's a lot of people that think that they have accomplished something, but we're coming to the time when the Lord is going to accomplish something really great through His people, really great and wonderful. And everything in the past is going to be like a shadow compared to what God is about to do, the great, great revival that's about to come, and the great falling away that's about to come. So get ready, folks. Get your Bible out. Start reading it. Be willing to leave the old cow behind, because, get this, cows only feed milk. That's right. The only way you can get anything more out of a cow, you got to kill him. If you kill him, you can get some meat out of him. But as long as he's alive, you don't get nothing but milk out of him. So, you know, if you want meat, you got to die to that old dead religion, honestly. I mean, God's Word is like baptism. God's Word is made to put to death our old life. If you repent when you read God's Word, you will walk away from dead religion just like Jesus' disciples did when they followed Him. You will follow the Lord whithersoever He goeth. Remember the first fruits unto God and the Lamb in Revelation 14. They followed the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. They were weaned from the milk, because you can't get far from Mama if you're still on the milk. And I'll tell you who Mama is, folks. It's those dead religions. They're all a part. They're all a part of the corporate body of Mystery Babylon, the mother of the harlots of the earth. Individual bodies, individual denominations and sects, they're all a part of one major body that goes all the way back, according to what Jesus said, to the time when Cain killed Abel. That's right. He talked about the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that have been shed upon the earth. Jesus blamed the Jews partially for that. That they were guilty of the blood of Zechariah unto the blood of Abel. You know? And so that's a long stretch. But let me tell you, there wasn't any Catholic Church there, folks. If you think the Catholic Church is the mother of the harlots, I got news for you. The corporate body of false religion all the way back past Mystery Babylon is the mother, and the daughters are these institutions that are a part of the mother. So come out of her and be separate, and the Lord will receive you, and you'll be to Him sons and daughters. Just like those early disciples came out, God is expecting us to outgrow the pabulum, to outgrow the milk, so we can follow our Father. Well, you know, the Lord spoke to me about those famous ministers. And you know what He told me? He told me they were the bulls of Bashan. You know, there's a prophecy in Psalms about the bulls of Bashan. It's a prophecy about Jesus, literally. And He said, the bulls of Bashan compassed me about. They gape upon me with their mouths. So on and so forth. It was talking about the bulls who sowed their own personal seed in the cow. You know, now you know, we're supposed to only receive the seed of heaven. Matter of fact, We are a virgin birth. Did you know that? That's right. It's not the seed of man that brings forth the born-again Christian. It's the seed of God out of heaven. It's a virgin birth. And if you're receiving the seed of man, I'll tell you what it is. It's like receiving men's doctrines, men's ways, men's church government, men's organizational rules and regulations, men's laws, Old Testament laws, you know. All of that, folks, is the seed of men. It's not the unleavened bread of the new covenant, which only Jesus can give. So if you're hung up in some of that stuff, repent. Get off the milk, get on the meat. Remember what my meat is? Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. Right? If you want to do the will of the Father, you got to quit thinking about it. You got to quit studying it. And you got to get out there and walk in your steps. And eat the Word of God. The Word of God will bring life to your spiritual man. The Word of God will empower you to walk in the steps of Jesus. When Jesus spoke to His disciples, He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There's no other place you can get that spirit and life than from the Word of God. And if you're on the milk, you're not experienced in the Word of Righteousness, Hebrews 5 says. You're not experiencing it. The meat is to do the will of the Father. So, come out from among them and be separate. And God will bring you among people that will help you to grow a little bit further. I admit freely, because it happened with me and it happens with a lot of folks, that when you start looking around you and you begin to compare things with the Word, you begin to realize that it doesn't really compare with the Word, and you begin to yearn for something greater, something that does compare with the Word, and sometimes you take a step or two out and you actually get into another one, just like that one. It's just a little bit further down the road, right? No, I went from Baptistism. I went from Catholicism to Baptistism and Pentecostalism, and finally I realized, you know, that sure, yeah, they were making steps beyond. Each one of them was making steps beyond, but they weren't carrying me where I wanted to go. I wanted to walk in the steps of Jesus. I wanted to be one of His disciples, like those disciples in that book were, and I'm still desiring to walk that way in every way I can. And if you have a desire to be a true Christian, as they called them, a true believer, God will make a way. But get in the Word, because the Word is spirit and it's life. You can't do anything until you are something. And you can't be anything unless Jesus lives in you. And Jesus can't live in you unless the Word lives in you, because He is the Word. So turn your life over to God for real. For real. I mean, you know, I know that all religions, you know, tell us that. Turn your life over to God. But if you do, folks, you're going to outgrow religion and you're going to follow the Lord. And ultimately, you're going to have the meat of the Word, which is to do the will of the Father. So, just remember that old golden calf. You know, they called him Jehovah. They called him Elohim. They put the right name, but it was on the wrong image. It was the image of a beast. And folks, that's the problem today. You know, they call it Christianity. They have a name that lives, but they are dead, as the Bible says. So come out from among them and be ye separate. Follow the Lord. Find some disciples that look like those disciples in the book, that are interested in walking in the steps of Jesus and not settle for just dead religion. And you'll find some people like those first disciples, because they weren't settling for the denominations of Judaism. Once they saw who Jesus was, they were ready to follow Him. And they were a remnant. Many of those people that saw Jesus and saw His miracles and wouldn't come out from among them, they died in Babylon, their own personal Babylon of that day, you know. We are on the verge, folks, of a great movement. In fact, it's happening now. The greatest, the fastest growing church in the world is the home church. That's right. I wonder what's happening here. You know, people are getting a revelation. And sometimes they're trying to... I was talking to some brethren today. I was sharing with some brethren earlier today. And sometimes people are trying to find a balance here. They know that when they go to their church, they don't get fed. They go home and read their Bible, they get fed. They try to find the balance of not forsaking themselves, the assembling of themselves together, which of course the Bible commands us. And they think to themselves, what is the use of me going and sitting under the same thing that I've heard all my life? It seems like they go around in circles and won't go any further. They're just in a little rut. Round and round.
Salvation,
round and round.
Baptism, and tithing.
Yes. Those kinds of things, you know. And they just don't want to grow up. And then you think, well, what is the use of sitting there? But I see this verse. I got to obey this verse. It's true. Now, you ask God to give you good fellowship with real disciples. That's what he's talking about there. He's not talking about fellowship in Babylon. You know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, folks. You sit there under that milk day in and day out. You can never grow up. You've got to have meat to grow up. So you seek fellowship and ask God to lead you to fellowship with people that have a love for the Word of God and don't want to make any denominational boundaries around their life. They want to grow up in God. You seek that. You ask God for that. He'll give it to you. And just remember, the Lord's not talking about sitting under leaven when he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, Hebrews 10:25. You're not talking about that. There's no point in that. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us to cast out the old leaven from among us and to have no fellowship, by the way, with the unfruitful works of darkness. And we need to grow up. We've got trouble on the horizon. Big trouble on the horizon. We've got to grow up. We've got to learn to walk by faith. We've got to believe that all the benefits of the Scriptures are ours. Like Psalm 103 says, forget not all his benefits. Right? The church has forgotten his benefits. And most of the church is still in the dark ages. You've heard of the dark ages, right? Well, that's where most of the church still is. They've never crawled up out of that hole, folks. And I tell you what, if you want to do it, don't wait for the people around you. Just run after the Lord with all your heart. Ask Him to put in you a consuming desire to read His Word. Ask Him to do that, and He will do it. He will do it. Trust Him to do it. He will do it. And run after Him. Wonder if anybody's got another testimony or revelation to share, either online or not. Doesn't make any difference. The voice you're hearing now is
yes.
Terry. Trying to decide.
We do. We've got a lot going on.
Terry, for you folks out there in radio land or on the internet or whatever, Terry's our moderator. He's sitting at a computer and he's moderating the Pal Talk broadcast. So when you hear him mumbling, he's trying to make a decision here about.
She has a testimony.
Okay.
Because I wanted to share testimony with everyone, if there's time, so there is. It's about repenting to be healed. I took a temporary job which I didn't feel was really God's goodwill for me. When I got that job, I was given an evil supervisor who was very rude and impatient with me. I reported her to her supervisor and thought it would make things better. The next week, that same evil boss came down on me like a ton of bricks, again being very rude and nasty. Again, I reported her to her supervisor, hoping things would improve. I started getting the flu cold immediately when that happened, and went home sick with a sore throat and laryngitis. I quit the job then, since I was sick and discouraged. I was healing from this sore throat and asked the Lord if I had sinned. He showed me that I wasn't supposed to report my supervisor to her supervisors. I was to turn the other cheek. I could quit the job. The Lord told me that I must not resist evil people and to leave the room for, or leave room for his vengeance. As soon as I repented, I began healing with a few hours. Within a few hours, she said that she was feeling much better.
Praise
she
the
was
Lord.
Feeling much better, yeah.
Praise
I understood that I was wrong to fight it, or fight, and it may make you sick or even kill you if you fight, if you resist the evil.
Yeah.
In people.
Yeah, you know what? Our methods have to be a little different for the world, and you know, we've got more power with principalities and powers, and we shouldn't be wrestling with flesh and blood. And sometimes, you know, kind of like Kurt's testimony here last week, you know, that he was having problems with somebody that was living with him over there, and yet we prayed, and God just turned the man's heart around towards Kurt, and had. You know, he had favor in his heart towards Kurt. You know, you got a lot more power that way. That's a better direction. You know, we're salt. We're salt. And we've got to bring salt into every situation. And you know, if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be trampled under the feet of men. You know, if we're not the salt of Jesus before the world, well, then we need trampling. Basically, is what the Lord was saying. We need tribulation. We need to be coming under the beast, so to speak, right? Well, that's why it's coming, folks. That's why troubles and tribulations are coming, is because God's people aren't salt anymore. They're not affecting the world. The world's affecting them. It's the other way around. Yeah. So that's a good testimony. And, you know, try your faith out on those obnoxious people around you that won't take advantage of you. And, especially the people that are of the world and not of the kingdom. You know, we've got rules. We have different rules in the Scripture for dealing with kingdom people than we do for worldly people. And we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 not to judge them that are without. Them that are without, God judges. Do not ye judge them that are within? See, because why don't we judge those that are without? Well, we don't judge them because they don't have the power to obey. They don't have the grace of God. They don't have the Spirit of God. They're just being what they are, right? But actually, that's what we're in that situation for. We're there to bring the grace of God to them through the gospel, right? To share good news with them, to turn the other cheek, to love them, and to pray for them, and so on and so forth. Now, when you're dealing with a brother that's in immorality, that's a different situation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5 to have no company with them. To not eat with them, and he's talking about eating the unleavened bread, you know, with them because they're full of leaven, right? So he tells you cast out the old leaven from among you, right? So you don't want us fellowshipping with people who are named a brother, be a fornicator or an adulterer or a covetous or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. He said, "Hurt."
I was just going to say that. I'm not saying it's easier to deal with a sinner in a horrendous situation than it is a brother, because you don't know how to deal with a brother. You would sort of expect it not coming from him or her. So it's a lot harder to deal with a brother or sister in Christ who's being obnoxious or, you know, evil towards you. Mm-hmm. That's a real tough situation. But God gives us a way to deal with that too.
Right. You know, there's a difference also in being in a position of authority where you are ordained of God to do something about this, and just your brother who's walking next to you, you know. And of course, you want to pray for them, give grace to them, ask the Lord to grant them repentance. But if they're walking in willful disobedience, you have to know that what they're going through is God's chastening, you know. But God gives church government. And like in Matthew 18, 15 through 17, he talks about if your brother sins. And actually, against you has been added in there. It's not in the original. It's not in the ancient manuscripts. I don't even believe it's in the received text. But it's not in an numeric pattern either. But it tells you there how to handle a brother that's in sin. And of course, I suggest that that number one, you make sure that you're not in the same sin, because you have no right to judge if you are. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees, you know. But if you're not, the Bible says, being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is made full, you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So, if you're in obedience in that area, maybe God would use you to help a brother out. And He tells you in Matthew 18 and 15, He says, if thy brother sin, and again, the words against thee are not in the original. Ancient authorities omit against thee. It's not numeric. It's not in the Nestle's text. It's not in the ancient manuscripts. Okay? So if thy brother sin, go and show him his fault between thee and him alone. Now, first of all, the words against thee are not scriptural for this reason. Because if he sins against you, you're supposed to forgive, turn the other cheek, resist not the evil, so on and so forth. Right? That's right. That's what the Bible says. Okay, so what is this for? Okay, this is a way to cause a brother, because of love, to face his sin. Not necessarily against you. Personal forgiveness, you always have to give to people. You have to personally forgive them. But let me say this. For the government of God and for the church, you don't have to forgive them. The Lord Jesus said in John 20, whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. And whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. He gave authority to His elders at that time who He was speaking to. He gave authority unto them to retain sin or to forgive sin. And for the church, let me say, there's times when you don't forgive people's sin for the church. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 5, there was a man who had his father's wife, and Paul didn't forgive him. He turned him over to the devil, as a matter of fact, for the destruction of his flesh, so his spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord. He didn't forgive him, did he? He personally would forgive anybody, I'm sure. Just like Jesus commanded in Matthew 6, we have to forgive personal offenses of anybody against us. But for the government of God, you don't have to forgive that person. In some cases, you're commanded, like in 1 Corinthians 5, to cast them out of the church. You're not giving them the forgiveness of God. And it goes on to say here, if thy brother sin, go and show him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he hear thee not, take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. Well, you know, I've tried my best to obey this over the years, and I tell you, it's one thing that works. Because by the time you get to the third step here, which is, and if you refuse to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if you refuse to hear the church, also let him be unto thee as a Gentile and a publican. Let me tell you what happens to this guy after he goes through step three. He, first of all, does not feel accepted in his sin anymore. Now, folks, you can go to most any churches nowadays and feel accepted in your sin. That's sad. Because we're commanded in 1 Corinthians 5 to throw these people that are in outward immorality, to throw them out of the church. So that a little leaven doesn't leaven the whole lump. Paul did that in 1 Corinthians 5. Turned that man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. And it appears by 2 Corinthians that the man had repented and was coming back, which is good. See, there are ways of helping people to face their sin and repent. Number one, the church should not accept someone in outward immorality. We're commanded not to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And in 2 Thessalonians, he tells us to have no fellowship with him, that he might be ashamed. You see, the church doesn't shame people anymore when they're in immorality and sin. They don't obey God. Matter of fact, their ways, in most cases, are the very opposite of what the Scripture commands. They'll fall out over some little minor doctrinal difference and separate from you. But they'll let immorality go on in the church and just be really cozy with the people that are in fornication or covetousness or all kinds of debauchery, you know. Well, the truth is, this is not retaliation, Matthew 18, 15 through 17. It's a way to make a brother face his sin and come to repentance. And if he repents, he'll forgive you. Your part in this, he will see the light. He will understand. And if he doesn't, by the time you've gone through these three steps, most likely he's going to get a spanking from the Lord himself. And kind of like Paul. You know, Paul was used to the Lord to turn the man over to Satan. And the Lord still uses Satan, by the way, folks. That wasn't something just happened back then. He still uses Satan to chasten you, to cause you to repent. It even happened with Job. Did you notice? Job repented. And Job, at the beginning, didn't even know he needed to repent. But by the time the devil was through with him, he knew he needed to repent. And he did. By the time God got through reasoning with him for several chapters there, he realized that he was self-righteous, and he repented. And God restored him, forgave him, and gave everything back to him. So, the Lord has never stopped using the devil. And, you know, Paul and Timothy also turned Hymenaeus and Alexander over to Satan that they might be taught not to blaspheme. So the devil's He'll teach you some lessons that you can't get any other way, frankly. You know, by the time the devil gets through with you, you're ready to run back to the Lord and get under the blood and claim the promises. And, you know, because if your heart condemns you not, you can claim those promises. But if your heart condemns you because you're in rebellion, you realize that you got no power with God anymore. And that's not a good place to be. No faith, no power. So, anyway, if it's a personal thing, be sure you forgive. If you don't, he will turn you over to the tormentors. But if it's a governmental thing, whereby if you forgive this person, they will just leaven the whole body of the church that they're in, then you need to, the elders there should have enough sense to do something about it. And if they don't, they're not following the word. And if you sit in the midst of a bunch of people like that who don't know the difference between the fornication that a lot of church people are in nowadays, they don't know about legal marriage, legal divorce, they don't know about anything like that. They just do what they want to do, whatever their lusts fancy them, you know, and covetousness and extortion and a lot of things that the church is into, gluttony, you know, a lot of these things. Folks, that are outward immorality. You know, these people need to face their sin. And not that you wouldn't always give them personal forgiveness. You would, you know, but not necessarily for God. So that's what Jesus was speaking about. You know, it warns us against. Let me say that God can do things that you can't do. But I'm going to point out something to you in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 and 21, it says, "You have heard that it was said unto them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say unto his brother, Raha, which shall be in danger of the counsel, and whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of the hell of fire. If therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, and be reconciled to thy brother. And then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way, lest haply the adversary deliver thee to the judge, the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison." I'm going to tell you who the prison keeper is, folks. It's the devil. Jesus came to set the captives free, to open the prison to them that are bound. The devil and his demons keep people bound in corruption and sin and curses and so on and so forth. That's why the Lord said in Matthew 18:34 that if you didn't forgive, he'd turn you over to the tormentors. Who do you think the tormentors are? They're the demons. Like Paul turned that man over to the tormentors, right?
Who is our brother?
somebody asked Jesus that very question. And who is my brother? Usually, sometimes people say that because they want to get out of it. But I'm not bringing praise for that. I'm not bringing praise for that. But yeah, who is our brother? That's true. And it's, you know what, you need discernment from the Word to find out who your brother is. But I tell you, when you're talking about doing good to those that are around you, suddenly it's more important to err on the side of grace and mercy than it is to be real particular like those Pharisees were, you know. Who's my brother? They wanted to know just who they had to do this with and who they didn't have to do this with, you know. So, but the truth is, like I said, it's better, if you're not sure, it's better to err on the side of having mercy than it is judgment. And but I want to point something out here. Thou fool, he said in verse 22. Now, you know, he's saying very plainly that we're not to call one another fools, right? But now Paul did it, Galatians 3 and 13. Well, foolish Galatians, you bewitched you. Was that Paul judging, or was that the Holy Spirit through Paul judging?
Well, he wrote it in the Bible, so it must have been the Holy Spirit through Paul.
Either that or he was kind of schizophrenic, right? We don't think that about Apostle Paul, do we? No. No. But let me say this. Who art thou, O man, that judges? When you judge others, you judge yourself. That's what the Lord said. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 2. A man doesn't have a right to judge. The one who does the judging in the church is the Holy Spirit. And like I was saying earlier, if you overcome, then God can use you to judge. If it's you judging, believe me, you will get in trouble. The Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. You can't judge, right? The Holy Spirit sees the heart. He knows, man looketh on an outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Now, Jesus said this, but let me tell you. Let me see where that is. I think it's Matthew 20. Let me find a verse here, if I can. It's been a long time since I looked at this. Yeah, here it is, Matthew 23:16. Woe unto you, blind guides, that say, whosoever shall swear by the temple is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. You fools, you fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has sanctified the gold? Now, Jesus called them fools. He's the one over here that said, whosoever shall say, thou fool. So, who was that doing this through Jesus? Was that Jesus personally? Was that man doing this? Was that Jesus in the flesh doing this? Or was that the Holy Spirit doing this? You know, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit don't sin. And He can judge. And He can use a man that's not in the same sin to judge. He can use him as a vessel to judge. But beware that you're not doing it in the flesh. You will get in trouble. Be careful. If you're going to err on any way, err on the side of mercy. Mercy glories against judgment. That's what the Bible says. If you're going to err on any side, err on that side. And but make sure you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I've been in a situation where the Lord told me specifically to turn people over to the devil. Not often, but He has told me to do that. And I always said, you sure, Lord? Lord, give me a sign if you want me to do that. You know? And you know what? He's given me a sign. Because you know why I'm so careful in that regard? Because I don't want to get turned over to the devil myself. You know, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. So you have to be careful, folks. Make sure that you're hearing from the Lord. And there is a time when nothing else will work. Believe me. I have seen where mercy, grace, faith, nothing would help a person turn from their sins. But the devil did it. The devil helped them to turn from their sins. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, I give you authority over all the power of the devil and the enemy. Right? Authority is the right to use power. Do you understand that Paul was using the devil's power to bring that man to repentance in 1 Corinthians 5? And how many is in Alexander? He was using the devil's power. He had authority to use the devil's power. You know, because the devil's under our feet, folks. You know, he put all the principalities and powers under the feet of the body of Christ. Read it, Ephesians chapter 1. the very lowest member of the body of Christ, the feet, is over the devil. And you can use his power. It's not for you. It's for the kingdom. And it's for good. The Lord uses the devil for good. Because he does do a wonderful job of chastening people and causing them to run to the blood. Run under Jesus, right? Repent. You're very careful. And let me tell you this. I feel sorry for a lot of Christians growing up in these Arminian churches around here because they don't understand the judgment has been falling upon America from God Almighty. It ain't that bad devil, folks. It's that good God. And he's offended. And if you know it's God, you got a reason to repent. But if you just think it's that old bad devil, you don't have a reason to repent. You go on in your stubbornness. And you don't realize that God is doing this. Just remember, the devil ain't sovereign. God is sovereign. The devil bows to God. He obeys the rules that God puts upon him. Read Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2 if you don't believe that. He obeys the rules. And in certain instances, he's given authority over you if you're walking in rebellion. And he does it, the Lord does it for your good. And sometimes the Lord can even find wise ministers that have enough understanding to submit to God in this regard and be used in this regard. We here in this assembly have certainly seen God do miracles with this. I tell you, one of the most awesome instances was a lady that used to come here that offended an awful lot of people. It was like she did it on purpose. She would offend. In fact, she was one of those. You ever seen kids that two's company, three's a crowd? They would run one of them off, right? You're my friend, right? Well, I don't. You don't need that friend over there, so we'll run him off. Well, she was kind of like that. She had taken a personal possession of myself and my wife, and anybody that befriended us, she would even try to offend them and run them off. Behind her back, of course, but she would do it. But she was, in fact, she would bring up, very rudely bring up doctrines that she knew people couldn't handle, and jump off into things that they didn't have grace to receive. And you could see the devil was using her to do this. Anyway, one day, after speaking to her much, receiving many dreams and visions for her to give her correction much, she would refuse all correction and just wouldn't repent. And I was asking the Lord, well, Lord, what to do about her? And the Lord said, well, I want you to turn her over to the devil. Now, again, what I said was, you sure, Lord? Is that you, Lord? I want to make sure it's you, Lord. And I asked the Lord for a sign, matter of fact, and I think it was, I asked the Lord to give me three heads in a row or something like that. So I flipped a quarter, and sure enough, I got the answer I asked for, and I was fairly convinced that this is what the Lord wanted to do. So, I did, just in the quietness of my officer, I prayed, and I turned her over to the devil for the destruction of her flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. You see, the purpose behind this judgment is good. It is love. It is grace. If you're doing it because you're angry, you're not qualified. If you're doing it for retaliation, you're not qualified. If you're using Matthew 18:15-17 because of anger or retaliation, you're not qualified to use those verses. Because you don't have that personal forgiveness and you're not forgiven of God yourself. You understand? So it is because of love that a person would use these governmental authorities that God has given to the church. It is because of love. And look, believe me, I tried grace, I tried faith. With this lady, we tried everything. We cast out demons, they come back. That's right. We did cast out many demons from this lady. They came back. Why? Why do demons come back? They come back because they found a house that the person was not repented. And so, I'm going to tell you this quickly before our next broadcast starts here. Terry's telling me it's time for a station identification. I'm overdue, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
And so,
I'm going to do that. Let me see here.
Time to pause for station identification. You are listening to the Unleavened Bread Bible Study
Our website is americaslastdays.com. You're listening on Spirit One Radio and American Liberty Radio at 89.1 FM on most of these stations. So, let me go on with my story here. Basically, I have to turn this lady over to the devil for the destruction of her flesh, that her spirit would be saved. See, it's a good thing. This is a method God gave. This lady suddenly got deathly sick. I mean deathly sick, because a bunch of brethren ran over there. She couldn't get out of her bed. She couldn't get out of her puke. She was messing in the bed, and she was so sick she was going to die right there. She felt like she was anyway. And she cried out to the Lord. She did. She cried out to the Lord, "Lord, what do I need to do? help me. I repent," and so on and so forth. So she cried out to the Lord, and the Lord told her what He wanted her to do. She heard Him loud and clear. He said, "I want you to go back over there in that assembly and stand in front of them and ask their forgiveness for what you have done to them." And she did. The Lord lifted that sickness off of her long enough for her to come over here and stand in front of the assembly here and ask forgiveness. And of course, we gave her forgiveness. She went back home. The sickness fell right back on her, and she was back in the bed again. She said, "Lord, I did what you told me to do. What's wrong?" And you know what? The Lord wanted her to respect the authority that ministers have. He said to her, He said, "You've been turned over to the devil." She called me up on the phone. She said, "David, the Lord told me that I've been turned over to the devil." I said, "Well, that's the truth. You were turned over to the devil. The Lord told me to do it, and I obeyed Him." I said, "But since you've confessed your sin and asked forgiveness, I don't see any reason not to release you. So I release you in the name of Jesus." You know what? The Lord healed her very quickly. You know why? Because He wanted her to know that there's authority in the church, and you can't just get away with anything you want to get away with in the church. Not when they're trying to operate as disciples of Christ, and not when they respect the Word of God and these principles and these commands. You can't just get away with anything like that in that kind of a church. Now, you might get away with it in a lot of dead churches, and they just throw up their hands. They can't do anything with demon-possessed people because they don't know they got any authority. That all passed away with the apostles, right? Right. So, basically, they end up being a house full of corrupt leaven. And can't do anything about it. But this has happened several times with me. Not often, but several times. And I tell you what, when the Lord tells you to do it, it's because nothing else usually works on these people. They won't repent. You ever notice how careful you are with the Lord when you're going under a chastening? You're careful to find out if you're offending Him in any way. You want to make sure you don't go through this very long, right? So, I tell you, these principles are in here for the true government of God to use. And you may think that because these people turn the other cheek and resist not the evil, that they don't have any authority and they don't have any way to chasten children to get out of line. But I can tell you that's not the truth. If it is the truth in your church, it's because that's not a church. Well, Terry, do you have anything really quick like? I say that because some of you don't know it, but we're about to go into another broadcast in the middle of this broadcast. Now, I know that's crazy, but we're doing it anyway.
Well, Leslie had a question about generational curses, but there was also a question about how can you tell the difference between discerning and judgment, or judging?
Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let me read it to you. I don't want to do it wrong. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. "Now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. He cannot know them because they are spiritually judged." Spiritually judged.
But he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The spiritual man judges all things. Any judgment that comes from the natural man is not legal. Because the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're just foolishness unto him. The natural man cannot judge a spiritual man. Jesus was a spiritual man, right? Look how many natural men tried to judge him. And did judge him. They cost him. Cost them their lives for judging him. And it's the same with you and me, folks. It's the spiritual man that has the authority to judge. And like I said, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, be in readiness to avenge all disobedience when yours is made full. He does not use people to judge who are in the same sins. And Romans chapter 2, who art thou, O man, that judges?